An Easter season. This is awesome, isn't it? So this past week, I was out for a pint with a friend, and we got talking about my recent ordination as a deacon. Along the way, my friend asked me a really interesting question. Why the Anglican Church? No, he wasn't being critical. He genuinely wanted to know. Out of all the various denominations and faith traditions, why this one in particular? And I'm not sure that anyone's asked me that question, at least not so directly. It gave me pause. As many of you know, I didn't begin my faith journey in Anglican circles. I grew up in a conservative evangelical church, and only slowly over time found myself drawn into this orbit. It's strange, but this transition has been a fairly easy one. Probably because I haven't felt a need to reject my former experience in order to make this move. For all of its faults, I continue to have great appreciation for the church of my youth. And I'm certainly not imagining that I've arrived to some grand ideal. So, why the Anglican Church? I could have said lots of things, but what came to mind in the conversation with my friend was the richness of the tradition. Thinking specifically of the various streams that flow, the Catholic, the evangelical, the charismatic, the progressive. It's amazing that we find all of these streams in the Anglican tradition, not only flowing side by side, but also converging from time to time. The Catholic stream is probably the most long-standing one. It's been there since the beginning with Augustine's mission to Canterbury in the 6th century. The Anglican Church continues to foster the liturgical, sacramental, and creedal practices of that time. This is true even here at the Res, where we're very relaxed. Each week, we share in an ancient liturgy that shapes our hearts and minds for worship. We pray responsively, recite the creed together, and open ourselves to God's grace in the sacraments. These are practices that join us together across the ages and around the world. There's also the evangelical stream. This is most obviously connected to the English Reformation in the 16th century, when the Bible became more central to life and faith, and the emphasis was placed on preaching and cross-cultural mission. The evangelical stream is a prominent one for us here at the Res. We believe it's important to hear the good news about Jesus, a word that claims us all and brings us to life as we respond in faith. The charismatic stream bursts out in the 18th century with open-air tent meetings and cascades to the present through various revival movements within and beyond the church. And the emphasis in this stream is personal experience of the living God who is active and present in the midst of community. This is important for us too at the Res. You can see it in many different ways as people share prophetic words from time to time, raise their hands in worship, and pray for healing. The progressive stream courses through the 19th and 20th centuries with activists like William Wilberforce, who worked to bring an end to slavery, and Jonathan Daniels, who played a key role in the civil rights movement. This stream aims at social justice and practical works of mercy. Now, it goes without saying that there's a strong progressive current at the Res, with many of us working in mission organizations around the city, like Sanctuary, the Dale, and Salvation Army. We see it, too, in an organization like Al Rasha that's devoted to creation care. So there are these four streams that flow in the tradition, and there are probably more. It's quite remarkable, really. This is one of the main reasons I'm glad to be serving in this church. I realize that we don't always let these streams thrive. Sometimes we narrow them to a trickle. Other times, we filter out all the good stuff. So liturgy can turn to empty ritual, gospel to propaganda, revival to spiritual abuse and education to cultural genocide. And just like in the wider church, people riding one stream can be harshly judgmental of those riding others, as if their thing is the most important thing. Still, it's amazing to discover these streams flowing in any one tradition. And I find myself dreaming of the possibility of them running together more naturally, not only within the Anglican Church, but also beyond and everywhere in between. I'm thinking Jesus might be able to help us with that. It's important to remember that these different streams, the Catholic, Evangelical, Charismatic, and Progressive, are not simply the result of human ingenuity or political success. Ultimately, they come down to us from Jesus. He is the wellspring, the one who reveals the Father, opens us to the Spirit, proclaims the gospel, and lays down his life in love. And he encourages us to take part in growing trust. We can get a glimpse of this in our gospel reading for today. So let's turn there together. Page 994. We're in John chapter 15. If you need to sidle up to someone, don't be shy. Let's share around. We're going to follow along in these verses from John. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. Beginning at verse 15. So the first thing to notice here is that this is an extremely dense passage. I was looking at it with a few others this week, and as we were puzzling it through, one person put to words what every one of us was thinking. "I don't know about you," he said, "but this is really confusing." No kidding. It's not what Jesus is saying at any given point. When we break it down, the words are not difficult to understand on their own. It's how Jesus makes connections all the way through. So notice the verbs that cycle around. We begin with loving and obeying in verse 15. So follow it with me. Loving and obeying in verse 15. We then shift to knowing, seeing, and living in verses 17 and 19. And then we loop back to loving and obeying in verse 21. Jesus must have been worried that we were going to forget that little part at the beginning. In the midst of all of that whirling activity, Jesus reveals how God is at work, expressing the unity that he has with the Father and explaining how he is present by his Spirit with a kind of fatherly love to lead into life. So what is Jesus up to here? Why in the world would he teach like this? I think it has something to do with the streams that we've been talking about. Only here, we've got them swirling together at the headwaters. When the fathers of the church gathered on this very day, this is an important day in the history of the church, this very day the fathers gathered at Nicaea in the 4th century to articulate how God had revealed himself in Jesus, and they paid close attention to this passage that we're looking at this morning. Notice the Catholic stream forming as Jesus identifies himself with the Father and the Spirit. Clearly, Jesus is far more than a teacher in this equation. Somehow, he embodies the life of God in his connection with the Father. This is what he's suggesting. And he promises to remain intimately present in the world by the Spirit after his departure. This is how God is revealed to us, and it begins right here. Father, Son, and Spirit, working to redeem all things through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. These are the core Catholic truths of Christian faith. And week by week, we gather to rehearse these truths, praying them in the liturgy, reciting them in the creed, and celebrating them in the sacraments. that's not all. Notice the other streams taking shape here. Because I live, you will live, declares Jesus. This is a compressed version of the gospel. Of course, it depends on everything else that Jesus has said. But this phrase puts the accent on God's power to save through the cross and resurrection. Here we see the beginnings of the evangelical stream, with its emphasis on preaching and personal conversion to Jesus. Right alongside that is another bubbling pool. I will ask the Father, says Jesus, and he will give you the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This is where the charismatic stream begins to flow. We are not alone. God is alive and present by his Spirit, revealing himself to us in community, giving us life and guiding us into all truth. Finally, there's the progressive stream. We see this welling up at the beginning of the passage and spilling over at the end. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. See what Jesus did there, the beginning and the end? Jesus' teaching and example matters. And we are to follow him publicly, laying our lives down in love and giving preference to the poor and marginalized, just as Jesus instructed. Now, we've touched on this already, but it's worth coming back to. Jesus is not only revealing who God is and how he is at work in these verses. He's also inviting response and participation. You are in me, and I am in you, he says. Paul uses similar words in his letters. He speaks of being in Christ and Christ being in us. This is a language for participation, for welcoming God's grace and sharing in it by faith. So how does that work in these various streams? Well, with different accents. In the Catholic stream, the stress is on liturgical worship as we return again and again to touch and taste and see all that's been given to us in Christ. In the evangelical stream, we're focused on the good news about Jesus, listening for God's word to us in Scripture and seeking to respond in faith repeatedly, but ever anew. The charismatic stream opens us to personal encounter with God by his Spirit and encourages us to serve in community with the gifts that he provides. And the progressive stream leads us to follow Jesus to the margins, to the outer fringe, giving our lives in love and seeking justice for the oppressed. These are the ways that we take part. In case it's not obvious at this point, the important thing to get is the rich complexity of this passage. Our tendency, of course, is to simplify things down to easily manageable kind of nuggets. It's not what's happening here, though. It's dense, it's confusing. But let's appreciate the wonder of it. These streams, they all matter. This is why Jesus teaches in the way that he does. One thing leading to another, and then looping back again, as if there's an interconnection between all the parts. Worship, gospel, spirit, love. These streams belong together, because they have their origin in Jesus. So, what does that mean for us at the Res? For one thing, I think we should feel encouraged. Catholic, evangelical, charismatic, progressive, these are ways of describing our life together in the way that we actually practice it here. We've touched on that already. Now, it's true, we're not always aiming at this kind of life. And sometimes things can get very messy and awkward. We're not all riding in the same current. And we can slosh up against each other from time to time. but it's okay. This is partly the point. God is with us and leading us in multiple ways rather than just one. So there's genius in the madness. Whether we realize it or not, we are learning to tap into ancient streams that flow down to us from the living God. I wonder what would happen if we fostered these streams more intentionally. What kind of life would be open to us if we did? On Thursday evening this past week, a number of us gathered for a community meal with Aboriginal friends from Wycliffe College. It was an amazing time in lots of ways, especially the conversations that we had over dinner. The biggest highlight for me, though, was when Julie led us upstairs to see the sanctuary. We did a little Q&A with about 40 of us gathered in the pews. There might have been more than that, I don't know. At one point, Julie and one of our guests shared the challenge of listening to each other as we work toward a better future. It was wonderful. Then we all prayed together. I don't know what it was, but something very special happened in that moment. And I think it had to do with these streams. Julie led us off with the traditional greeting, "The Lord be with you." And we responded. And after she finished praying, there was a brief pause. I thought we were done. But others began to chime in. Some called out for healing and renewal. Others gave thanks for community leaders. We prayed for comfort for loved ones far away. And there were surprising words of blessing channeled from places beyond us. Throughout, people quoted the prayer book from memory as they felt led, almost as if we were praying through the evening liturgy. It was spontaneous and poignant and disciplined and full of life. At the end, we concluded with the Lord's Prayer, each in our own language of origin. The ancient words came down to us one more time, tumbling out in so many tongues. And suddenly we were gathered together at the headwaters, like family, praying with Jesus in the power of the Spirit, "Our Father." Maybe this is what it's like when the streams run most freely, when we're joined together at the source in faith and hope, with God most tangibly present to us to lead in love and to make all things new. May we learn to do this more and more together at the Res. Amen.